Gina Carano, two words basically set up this episode's topic for the Broken Clock podcast. I wanted to talk about this and Mouse is humoring me because this whole story to me is totally illogical. So we're going to break down what really happened as best we can tell. And is there any logic to be found in any of this? Because Mouse, the whole story to me, start to finish, has just been so weird. It's been like this emotional snowball that just started and just got bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And I'll start off by saying my take on this whole thing before we get into the logic of it is that Disney's hand was essentially forced. It was another Roseanne Barr situation where it wasn't what she had said. It was what she was going to say next. It was almost like a death by a thousand verbal cuts. And it's one of these situations where I think we both agree that except in one, there's one notable circumstance where I'm like, now that tweet was over the line. And if I were to pick one, that would be the tweet I'd be okay enough on. But it was just, she didn't seem to have impulse control. And when you're working for Disney, you need impulse control. Ask Gilbert Gottfried, who made a bad joke about the tsunami in Japan and the nuclear reactor, and also got fired for Disney from Disney. Roseanne Barr's show was an ABC production, so that was also Disney. But Mouse, what's your take on it? Have you seen any greater reason than I have? Because to me, it's just a bunch of yelling.
Well, it's not too terribly different. Going back over her tweet history, there was a problem. Gina Carano has a problem. Outside of things that people may have mischaracterized or subtext that they might have alluded was there. And in some cases, you can make an argument saying, well, there's a subtext to this when you consider, you know, the larger cloth of her tweet history. And my God, I can't believe I'm saying those words with a straight face.
I know. It's just one of these things where it matters because it's become such a thing, but the whole thing seems so frivolous, doesn't it?
It does, but there is a problem that, frivolous or not, the platform has been used for some pretty nefarious purposes, sort of weaponized, if you will, by certain types, certain radicalized factions.
Yeah.
And so in there are things to be concerned about in regards to Gina Carano. I don't think she's well.
I agree.
Her state of mind, she clearly has imbibed a whole bunch of crazy Kool-Aid. And I'm not sure, should we get into that part now?
Yeah, let's break this down piece by piece, because I'm struggling with this too. I don't know if she's mentally ill or just watched a lot of Fox News.
It gets to a point where you can't tell, really.
Yeah.
What the difference is.
And this is the part I'm struggling with, because unfortunately, many of Gina Carano's views that I find repellent are shared by, what is it, 74 million Americans?
Kind of frightening, isn't it?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the thing. You're talking about 45% of the, it was 45% of the voting population, which is only like 34% of the population.
Yeah.
But you know, you're talking about, what is it, 75-80% of Republicans who believe this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of people. And can you really blame a person for trusting something on television labeled news? Because I hate to admit it, but we're going to have to cancel a lot of people's grandpas if that's the standard. You know what I'm saying?
Well, see, I believe that a person is responsible for the things that they put in their minds. And allowing ideology formation by osmosis, where you don't take an active interest, but you essentially just consume, is a choice as well.
Sure, but this is somebody who got hit in the head for a living.
Well, that too.
Yeah. I'm not saying she's right. I'm saying that it seems like the Overton window on this one, it's now in the US very hard to peg the Overton window. There's like two Overton windows, right? And for people who have never heard the term Overton window before, the Overton window is the range of policies or opinions politically acceptable to the mainstream population at a given time. And it's like, now there are two Overton windows, right? There's the Fox News Overton window, which is still the highest rated cable news network in America. So that's not for nothing. But then there's pretty much everybody else, right? Mm-hmm. And that's part of the problem here. It's that, you know, you're saying people are responsible for what they put in their minds. I agree with that in principle. But at the same time, most people are mid to low information voters. It's not wrong for people to trust something labeled news, right? There is also a responsibility for news organizations to actually report facts. And Fox News Primetime just didn't. You know, I've been hyper aware. I'm an avid viewer of MSNBC. I'm even skeptical of their primetime shows. Yet I go host by host, right? If Ari Melber or Rachel Maddow tells me something, I'm reasonably certain it's factual. We know Lawrence O'Donnell is all about rhetoric, right? He's a beautiful orator, but we know he goes over the line sometimes. And, you know, pretty much Nicole Wallace, okay, she used to be a Republican, but pretty much everybody on MSNBC's primetime lineup after that, I am highly skeptical of. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so I spend an inordinate amount of time researching things I see on the news. I get that most people don't have time to do that, right? So how much culpability does someone have? Like, at this point, I think we can all agree, or hopefully we can all agree, that if you see a meme on Facebook, you're responsible for making sure that that thing's legit before you share it, right? I think that's a fair mm-hmm. thing to ask of people. And I think that's part of the problem that Gina Carano got into, was that instead of offering her own opinions, most of what she got in trouble for was shared memes or retweets or reposts on Instagram. And I think she didn't look at all the angles. And I agree with you. She's responsible for that. You're responsible for the content you repost. Lord knows I've gotten into trouble for things that way too. But the underlying beliefs that we, and this is, oh, this is killing me, Mouse, and I'm hoping you have some insight into this. What she is saying regarding the 2020 election is false.
Mm-hmm.
It is also the sincerely held belief of a significant minority of the population that deserves to enjoy Star Wars as much as anybody else. How do we square these two facts?
Well,
yeah,
nothing is preventing them from enjoying Star Wars. However, here's the thing. We're talking about essentially, I'm trying to stop saying basically every 10th worth. So
as long as you don't say literally incorrectly, I'm okay,
like,
with basically.
Literally, I literally died.
I literally basically died. Okay.
I literally basically died. Okay.
Somebody's going to do a whole musical theater number on qualifiers at one of these days. It's an entire song of just words that end in L-Y.
Well, Well, Weird Al almost got there.
Yeah, he did. He did. See, we don't want to touch on this, so we're tangenting on funny things, because this is an uncomfortable set of facts, right?
Well, here's the thing. We can't counterfeit reality. We can't run away from it. The things that Carano and a significant minority of Americans believe are demonstrably false.
Right.
We cannot capitulate. We cannot make allowances. First of all, if we were to make allowances for, quote, spare their feelings, that's infantilizing them.
Yeah,
basically,
yeah.
You're too stupid, or you're too much of a baby to really know what's going on. No. These are grown-ass men and women.
Okay, this is what makes me uncomfortable with the whole thing, though, because let's face it, this only happened. The current tweets would only have become a huge issue had Gina Carano not run into the very loud, I don't know what to call them, people who claim to be trans advocates online, but they seem to just run around saying mean things to people who don't have the right words regarding trans people.
Well, there is a there in just about every subculture and every advocacy culture, you have the people who paint themselves as advocates, but only do it as a means of essentially lashing out to people.
Of course, but their entire argument, and this is where I start from a logical perspective. Like, I want to be clear. I totally disagree with all of Gino. Well, I shouldn't say I totally disagree with all of them, but all the, you know, anti-mask stuff, all the election was rigged stuff, that's all garbage, right? It's all garbage.
It's pretty garbage.
It's garbage. It's ignorant garbage. But let's face it, Letitia Wright posted a vaccine hesitancy video too. Don Cheadle told her off, and that was the end of it, right? Gina Carano really brought the ire of people who their argument is that media should be inclusive. I can't enjoy media when one of the stars is a bigot, right? It's an emotional appeal.
Mm-hmm.
And the entire reason that's wrong is because, you know, the hard left is about 18% of the population, right? They've measured this. The entire political extremes are about 18% of the population. So I'm wrong. You're talking about, I guess, like 9% of the population. Then you get the people that believe Fox News garbage, which is 34% of the population. So either way you swing this argument, you're dealing with the minority saying that their feelings should matter and Disney should make decisions based on the feelings of a minority of the population, as opposed to the vast majority of people who don't really care about very much of any of this and just want to watch Star Wars. This is the problem with the way this whole thing was set up. It was built on a house of cards. So now whatever decision Disney makes, somebody's going to be upset. And the fact that somebody is upset seems to be the thing that matters, not the right or wrong of the facts of the situation. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
And that's the issue I have with the whole thing. If they had, and okay, in fairness, Disney's statement, this is another thing that drives me crazy, okay? This story is being reported that Gina Carano was fired for a tweet where she invoked the Holocaust, essentially. There's a very disturbing historical photo of a woman who ran out of basically a lingerie shop because children were beating her with rocks. And for some, there's a Dead Kennedys tag in it. I don't know if the Dead Kennedys use this as an album cover or what, but this was a share on a reshare on Instagram. originally from somebody named Warrior Priest Jim Podcast. I mean, I want to get my historical facts from somebody named Warrior Priest Jim Podcast, right? Like fitness history, big crossover there. Notice my sarcasm. Mm-hmm. But Jews were beaten in the streets, not by Nazi soldiers, but by their neighbors, even children. That's factual, right? That's history. We know that. Because history is edited, most people today don't realize that to get to the point where Nazi soldiers could easily round up thousands of Jews, the government first made their own neighbors hate them simply for being Jews. How is that any different from hating someone for their political views? I think we can agree there's nothing wrong with that statement. One could make an argument that no, hating somebody for who they are, as opposed to the views they espouse, are very different things, right? Mm-hmm. But somebody could counter argue that a religious belief is a view, right? Like religious belief, political view. Let's face it, the right wing has attempted to make those synonymous, mm-hmm. right? They pass off homophobia and transphobia as sincerely held religious beliefs. We could do an entire podcast about why that's horseshit, right? Mm-hmm. But so what the view Carano espoused without the picture, I would argue, is relatively within the Overton window. Most people would agree with the idea you shouldn't hate someone just because they have a Republican or Democrat attached to their name, right? I think that the mistake Gina Carano made was instead of sticking to issues that were political in nature, she got into the partisan fight. And that in entertainment is a big red line you don't cross, right? It's not necessarily fair. People are pointing out that Pedro Pascal also compared the Trump administration to Nazis. Now, whether you agree with him or not, that's not the issue. The issue is whether ever invoking the Nazis or the Holocaust is acceptable in modern day political speech, right? But I don't think this was the post that got Gina Carano fired. I don't.
Most likely not.
Yeah, I'm going to change the argument here to something more based on facts, okay? Because Disney's statement is curiously worded. Lucasfilm, sorry, not Disney, sub company. So this doesn't reflect on Marvel, who still has Chris Pratt employed, even though his church won't hire gay people. And Gwyneth Paltrow is still employed, even though people died because of her kookery on her Goop website, okay? They're still employed. Marvel hired back James Gunn. I watched too much Clarice this week. But Lucasfilm said, Gina Carano is not currently employed by Lucasfilm and there are no plans for her to be in the future. Nevertheless, and it's this nevertheless, I went, huh? Nevertheless, her social media posts denigrating people based on their cultural and religious identities are abhorrent and unacceptable. That wording indicates she was gone before she tweeted that.
Yeah, it sounds like she, well, technically speaking, her contract would have expired at the end of the season, and then it was Lucasfilm's prerogative to renew it.
Yeah, I think that maybe they made the decision not to go forward with her on Guardians of the Republic or something like that. They made up their minds before this tweet. That's what this says to me, right? First of all, and two things backing it up are that they came out with this comment less than 48 hours mm-hmm. after she tweeted, she shared that on Instagram. It was an Instagram post. It was not a tweet. The other things were tweets, but that's not enough time to inform someone and officially terminate their contract. It certainly isn't enough time for her to get fired and ink a deal set in stone with the Daily Wire. All this stuff was done. It takes time, right, to finalize mm-hmm. a contract and finalize the wording. And you don't announce anything until the thing is set in stone. Because then
until
blows
the ink
up,
is dried.
Right, yeah. Everybody looks bad. You ink the deal before you announce it, right? There was nowhere near enough time to negotiate all of that for all of this to be caused by the Holocaust tweet, mm-hmm. right? This has been in the works. If you want to be conspiracy minded, she was ratcheting up the drama for this Daily Wire film announcement, which I don't believe is the big, hey, we got you thing that, people are claiming. Cause I mean, okay, being a character, being a character in Star Wars versus the Kirk Cameron career model.
Yeah. Cause I mean, those of you out there who know much about the history of Ben Shapiro know that the only reason he got into the right wing grift is because he was a failed screenwriter.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So he's Ed Wooding himself into.
The only thing I really know about Ben Shapiro is when he went after Cardi B and Megan Thee Stallion for the WAP video. Mm-hmm. Somebody, he commented on his wife's personal moisture content, shall uh-huh. we say. And somebody did a mock-up of the game Sekiro Shadows Die Twice. And I'm sorry, this is a bit vulgar, guys. Somebody mocked it up to say Shapiro has a dry wife. That's the only thing I really know about Ben Shapiro. I work very hard to not pollute my brain with his mind worms.
Yeah, he's the dumb man's intellectual, basically.
Yeah, he just seems to be another one that gets labeled as an intellectual, but his entire rhetoric, I saw one 5-minute clip before that, and to me it was just a bunch of emotional reasoning with a thesaurus.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, obviously you're seeing that this is what I'm trying not to do with this Gina Carano thing. I'm trying to find some theory of the case that someone has proposed that is consistent and can't find it. Now, Disney's given no reason for the firing, despite what's reported. And part of the frustration for me with this as a former entertainment reporter is that the reporting on this has been bad. Right? They are going for the screaming headlines as opposed to the
what actually happened.
Right. There are a lot of assumptions being made here. And so the actual thing I've been able to glean from actually reading what people have been saying is that Disney ended their contract with her before this most recent tweet. And they're saying, nevertheless, this is bad. And I find it interesting that they used similar language to what they said about Roseanne. They said abhorrent. And the interesting thing about the whole Roseanne Barr firing was that it wasn't so much about what she said. It's that they were afraid of what she was going to say next. You know, mm-hmm. and the thing about Disney is that Disney also owns ABC. And right now, you know, ABC is making a lot of money off, I'll call it the Blackish universe, you know, Blackish, Mixedish, mm-hmm. Grownish. They've got a whole franchise that Disney cannot afford to piss off Black people. Finn getting robbed in the Star Wars movies aside. I will stake my claim. Finn got robbed, man.
He got robbed.
But I suspect another tweet. Because remember I said there was one that if I was somebody, I'd say, that's it. Like, I'm done, right? I suspect it was this tweet that I'm going to read. And it was from December 8th. And for some odd reason, this one's still up. I don't know. But it's another meme that she shared, but it says, sure, I'll take the vaccine. Just mail it to me. My health and safety are too important to show up in person. Just like mail-in voting, you know, safe, secure, and honest. So just mail it to me and I'll give myself the shot and send the paperwork back saying I'm vaccinated. You all trust me, right? I probably would have fired somebody for that tweet. Because it's a double-headed serpent of crap, you know? Because it's post the November 20 election, right?
Yeah.
I think that was right around the time that they called it for Biden. So she's saying there's mail-in voting fraud, which there is always a teeny tiny infinitesimal bit of fraud in elections. Conservatives love to say there's more than there is. But there is not enough fraud to have changed the
outcome of the election.
Right. The outcome of the election. The only time you can really swing an election with fraud is locally, right? You can stuff a ballot box or do shenanigans for like a mayor's race. But the U.S. election system is just too decentralized to make fraud easy to do. Mm-hmm. And Biden just won in too many states for it to have affected the outcome of the election. But not only is she saying mail-in voting is fraudulent, which again pisses off Black people, because you know, Democrats, especially Black voters, are much more likely to participate in mail-in voting than white voters and Republican voters.
And Stacey Abrams, like,
right,
busted her ass heroically to get people registered for mail-in voting.
Yeah, it's just people are more comfortable voting from their own home because they're less afraid of voter disenfranchisement that way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they don't have to show up to a polling station, get menaced, and get turned away. Yeah. And then she's going after the COVID vaccine too. Like it was just like this Voltron of why? Like, why? Lady, you are on Star Wars. Like, Star Wars isn't worth you shutting your mouth and mouse. I know you haven't seen her. You haven't seen The Mandalorian, so you haven't seen her performance in that show. She was wonderful. And that's the great tragedy of this whole thing. I actually went back and rewatched it after she started popping off. And I'm like, you know what? She was before this, but even after that, I'm like, you know what? Her asshole to awesome ratio is still in positive territory. You know, that's the thing that sucks so bad. She didn't screw it all up by being bad at her job. She screwed it all up by just not recognizing that part of the monstrous salaries that, you know, entertainers get is the fact that every time you open your mouth in public, you are an extension of the brand.
Uh-huh.
Right. And I think at this point, the interesting thing is that Disney has pivoted in recent years, as opposed to what their public face is. And I think it wasn't so much that they made a conscious choice. I believe that they were forced into it. Because, well, you know, Jeb Bush was still governor of Florida. Disney tried to play it very much down the middle because they had to deal with a Republican governor who, you know, they wanted to play nice because they didn't want, you know, things that could go either way going against them. They wanted low taxes and, you know, a bunch of other stuff. They're a major employer in the state of Florida for obvious reasons. More and more, and I believe it started back in, you know, the fact that a lot of gay men were very much responsible for saving Disney features. Right. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, the songwriters, Alan Menken and company, on The Little Mermaid and Beauty and the Beast and Aladdin, they saved Disney features. Right. And so at that point, Disney was like, no, we're going to support our gay employees. They always kind of did quietly, but, you know, they took more of a stand. They started mm-hmm. having LGBTQ plus friendly family days and stuff like that at their theme parks. And you know, they've been a very openly pro-gay company.
And for the, you know, prior to that, for a long time during the 90s, they didn't openly sponsor Gay Day at Disney yeah. World, but they certainly didn't
say ban. No.
Yeah, they didn't say no.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was the 90s, so they couldn't exactly go, yes, come in.
Yeah, they were quietly pro-gay rights before they were loudly pro-gay rights. And I think we mm-hmm. sort of both agree that if a company has to pick, being a positive work environment is preferable to tweeting something loudly.
I mean, you know, Timon and Pumbaa were probably the first gay couple at Disney.
The line was dress and drag and do the hula, right? They took that out of the new one. He sang Be Our Guest instead. And I'm like, oh man, they made Timon less subversive.
I know.
You know, like the fact that they had a cute little furry doing a drag show. And oh my God, I mean, Disney's been that way. The original Robin Hood movie.
Oh gosh.
Oh my God. Little John has the biggest boobs in Disney history. I couldn't believe the rack they put on him when they were dressed up like women. I was like, what? I watched over Christmas, right? And I was like, first of all, like this movie's racy. Like I watched this as a kid. And I was like, whoa, like this movie was so ahead of its time in so many ways. And yikes. Anyway.
And now you understand why that is the movie that launched 1,000 Furries.
Oh, I do. It was so, I thought Zootopia was charged. Never mind, man.
With the tigers, just like the skimpy shorts.
But yeah, and just Judy's like Puss in Boots eyes, right?
Yeah.
Like, I thought that movie was racy, but no, man. Whenever there is a red fox as a male lead, there is a charge. I don't know what's going on at Disney. Somebody is Foxkin at that company, but like, what? But I mean, unfortunately, we're in a climate right now where the Little Mermaid would have to be in a wetsuit. Now, like you could never make a movie where a female character was just wearing a shell bra, right? And I think that's kind of sad, but that's a topic for another time. Disney sort of decided they were going to support their employees. And in the arts, that means supporting gay people. You know,
yeah.
I'm going to be controversial and say, if you want really good vocals in a movie, you're going to hire some Black people too, you know, just because of the history of the gospel movement and the excellent vocalist that's produced.
Mm-hmm. And of course, then you've got the Spamalot line, you know, you can't succeed on Broadway if you don't have any Jews.
Yeah. I mean, Disney's comments that were not outside the Overton window of the time.
Mm-hmm.
Aside, and that's the thing about the Overton window, it shifts, right? And
yeah.
The reality Disney is dealing with right now, they know where the Overton window is, and you know they have very lucrative deals with performers like Beyonce. I mean, okay, you can't put up something like Black is King, right, and then let somebody basically hint at voter suppression tactics, right? Like you can't mm-hmm. have it both ways. In another political climate, there would be a big enough tent for all. We are not in that climate.
No.
And whether that's fair or not, a rational, reasonable thinker recognizes the climate they are in. Unless you're certain Greek philosophers and then you drink hemlock.
Yeah.
and that's really what Gina Carano did, right? She chose to drink hemlock.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing on that whole thing. Because the issue that some people had, and that some people I'm speaking about the more nuanced, because there were, of course, some nuanced points being raised by some people who were getting over overshadowed by the more emotional reactionary mm-hmm. ones was that in the context in which Gina posted that Holocaust picture, if you look at it, and again, I can't believe I can actually say this with a straight face. Mm-hmm. If you look at it and taking into context the greater tapestry of her collected tweets, you can see a certain certain subtext running through it. So that in and of itself, the image that was posted and the quote, you know, is not offensive because it does speak to a historical truth. That is indeed what happened in Nazi Germany, where essentially they got the neighbors to be ones to. But in the greater context, with the subtext of everything that she has been posting, you can make the argument that there was and there was a subtext that points to certain political affiliations, particularly party affiliation.
Yeah, that partisan divide I was mentioning.
Right. Yeah. It's essentially, you can make the argument that in the greater scope of her tweets, she is casting herself and fellow Republicans as the persecuted minority.
Which would make more sense if she'd already been fired for her political views, right? Uh-huh. Like that feeds into my working theory that the firing had already happened. She'd already mm-hmm. been told that your services are no longer required.
And anyone who makes that argument, well, to begin with, you need to be already very much unhinged from reality to make the argument that the party that favors the white heterosexual Christians and has some of the largest donor base is a persecuted minority, especially when you have a group of your followers be able to storm the Capitol.
Yeah.
And then
wearing camp out switch sweatshirts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then have the man who is the figurehead responsible for all of this be acquitted. That is not a persecuted minority.
Well, okay, she didn't know he was acquitted when she put that on Instagram, but still, yes, that's, and I'll go you one further, Mouse.
Ooh.
The party most guilty, and I'm not saying both sides don't do it to an extent. I mean, AOC's "you tried to have me murdered" thing with Ted Cruz, way over the line, okay? Mm-hmm. But you see where I'm going with this,
yeah?
Okay, the scope of demonization of political opponents. She's making an argument against the party she supports.
Exactly.
Right. And that's the one thing I wish, that instead of it becoming this whole thing, if somebody had the opportunity to sit her down and go, "You're right. Now I want you to consider what they're bringing drugs, they're bringing crime, they're rapists" does. And now try to understand why people can't figure out where you're coming from with this. Because mm-hmm. it seems like people sit her down. Like, apparently Pedro Pascal got through to her on the pronouns thing from the past. We haven't brought that up, but she got in trouble in the past by saying, you know, "My pronouns are beep, boop, bop," or "beep, bop, boop." And apparently he sat her down, and Pedro Pascal, you know, has a sister who is trans, a beautiful woman, not that that matters, but damn. Recently came out. And he apparently got through to her on that point. And she actually made a follow-up comment that I thought was actually a really nice moment. Now, mm-hmm. of course, a certain Twitter faction was not going to let her go at that point. The cake was baked, pardon the pun, because we all know how charged wedding cakes are now. But it showed that
they are.
Well, yeah, because of that whole case that the guy's getting sued again. Can you believe it? The anti-gay cake baker, he did it again. But anyway,
why do people go to him?
I think at this point people, no, apparently it was on a different thing.
Oh,
it wasn't a gay cake this time. It was okay. Cakes don't have a sexuality, but you know what I mean? Like, that's so stupid.
I don't know. I've like, seen some pretty gay cakes.
Characters from the Disney Robin Hood movie in the
yeah.
Did it have Little John's massive rack?
That needs to be a cake now.
The people that haven't canceled their Disney Plus subscriptions right now are like, I gotta watch Robin Hood. But I mean, like, okay, there was a certain percentage who were not gonna let this go.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, but that doesn't change the fact that it showed that she could be reasoned with. The thing that makes me so sad about this is I think that Gina Carano is actually a probably pretty decent person who's just not very smart and has had her head filled with crap, because what tends to happen is that once somebody gets targeted by one side of the culture war fight, the other side of the culture war fight starts sniffing around them, mm-hmm. sees if they can recruit them, right? I've had some experiences with this myself just this week. I don't know if I want to get into that, but you know, they start sniffing around. This also happened to me during the Gamergate controversy. And they start, you know, what they call love bombing you. You're getting all this hate from the other side. If you look at some of the things that people said to her regarding the beep, bop, boop thing, it was pretty awful.
Mm-hmm.
I sympathized with her in that, because there are a lot of people that don't know why people put pronouns in their Twitter bio. I am personally opposed to the practice, and I'll tell you why. Because to me, if you're pressuring someone to declare their pronouns, you may be doing the equivalent of force outing someone. Because either they mm-hmm. refuse the request because they're not ready,
right.
or they have to take that step and admit they're non-binary or trans before they're ready. And that can be deeply psychologically damaging.
Mm-hmm.
You know? That's why I'm opposed to the pronouns thing. I am opposed to pressuring someone to do it. If you want to do it and it's your choice, awesome. But don't push someone to do it. I am deeply opposed to that practice.
Yep.
But of course, the extreme right started love bombing her. And this is obviously somebody who was deeply affected by the people flinging nastiness at her on Twitter. I'll tell you, the first couple times it happens, it's really scary and it really hurts. After about your 10th time, it's just like, meh, it's a day ending and why. But the first few times is pretty awful, right? The culture war creates extremists. And both sides share some culpability in it. And you're not even allowed to say both sides, because that's both sides-ism. But the truth is, the sides in this issue are not left versus right. It's extremists versus everybody else, mm-hmm. right? And that's the thing, that I don't think Gina Carano started off back in, what was it, like August, September of last year, who she is now. Like, before this, we'd never really heard a peep about her politics. She wasn't like Kevin Sorbo, who occasionally just says something stupid.
You mean Peanut?
What's that?
You mean Peanut?
Peanut?
Yes.
Why Peanut? That's
what Lucy Lawless called
him.
Oh,
right.
Remember when that?
Yeah. I mean, there are, you know, Clint Eastwood is a conservative who still gets work in Hollywood, even though he spent 12 minutes talking to a chair back in, what was it, 2012?
I remember that.
Yeah. It's really funny, Mouse. There are some younger culture warriors now who have no idea that happened. I actually said this to somebody who, you know, was getting on my case. I said, you know, back in my day, people could talk to a freaking chair and go on and make pretty good movies. Right. And she'd never heard of it. And I'm like, wow, institutional memory is short. But that's what happens when you get someone like Trump. And this is why I'm so concerned about Trumpism and why I'm so concerned about picking off people who are really, in some ways, and I don't know the right word. I'm not going to use the word victim because, like you said off the top, people are accountable for what they put on social media, right? But everybody's attacking the symptoms instead of the cause, right? If you've got a serious disease, treating the cough or the stuffy nose doesn't solve the problem.
I'm sorry. When you said that, my brain, you know how my brain works.
Similarly to mine.
So, and you know, something fired. So I'll remove the cough, but not the symptom.
Excellent. Shit, what's that from?
How you do? See, you've met my. Nope.
Is Rocky Horror Picture Show? No, it's not Rocky Horror Picture Show. Right. That was good. That was a very good Frankenfurter. It's a very good Frankenfurter.
Don't get strung out.
Oh my God.
By the way I look. Don't judge a book by its cover.
Tim Curry is underrated as a voice actor, I'll tell you.
Oh, hell yeah.
He was a great Gabriel Knight. I don't expect you guys to know that reference. That was just a classic video game nerd moment.
Gabriel Knight.
But yeah, Gabriel Knight. Okay, that's so inside. That's so inside. We're not going to go there. But we really keep nipping around the, you know, treating the hangnail when you've just lost a foot kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
And unfortunately, all the people who are getting a lot of attention politically are guilty of this in some way. You know, I think the biggest example now, I don't know if you saw this, Mouse, but Mitch McConnell getting up there and voting to acquit Trump on a technicality and then going, bad Trump, bad, bad. And I'm yes. like, this is just so typical of everybody complaining about the problem, but nobody having the stones to do something about the problem, right? And in that case, I'm going to say something contentious. And I think that if we had more people like Gina Carano, who was dead wrong, but stood by what she was saying, as opposed to this Mitch McConnell school of, I'm going to say one thing to the base and another thing to my donors, we'd actually maybe start solving these problems, you know? Because if somebody's willing to accept consequences of their behavior, at least they're reachable, you know? I don't believe for a second that Gina Carano now is actually a racist or an anti-Semite or a transphobe, right? Ask me in 5 years, it might be different because she's going down a very dark path.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, I don't believe for a second Gina Carano is any of those things, right? We would have heard her doing things in her personal life that were bad at this point because the knives are out for her. It would have been much more expedient to bury her if there were things in real life that people would come forward and report. Joss Whedon, you know? But now she's going to get rewards for saying increasingly bad stuff, right? Because respectable societies rejected her. And I don't know. Again, I don't see how Disney could have done anything but what they did. They were backed into a corner. They were really left no choice. I still find the whole thing tragic just because I think that the internet may have created really weird opinions in somebody who otherwise wouldn't have had them. And I don't know what to do about that while still maintaining first principle protection of free speech rights. Like people have to be allowed to believe stupid and offensive things, right? Because I just keep thinking back to the mid-90s when I was saying, I think gay people should be able to get married because they're two consenting adults. And that was treated as a stupid and offensive opinion. Right? I don't feel like I am wise enough to determine the difference between a bad, bad idea and a good, bad idea. If that makes it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like there's an example of a good, bad idea. When I was saying, God, I don't remember when I started going, trans people are the gender they feel they are. Gender's not in the body, gender's in the mind. Gender may be physiological. What? That's awful. That's horrible. You're anti-women. You know, I got that. But I still maintain that was a good, bad idea. That was an unpopular view at the time, but the Overton window moves. And whereas I think that defund the police was a bad, bad idea, right? And things have pretty much borne that out, right? I get the anger there. I get the anger there, but it was a bad idea, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But there's a shining example of, I want people to be able to have that moment and get mad and say, defund the police. So I have to figure out, this is going to sound awful and cynical, but what I'm willing to trade for that, right? Like what views that kick me in the gut am I prepared to welcome into the Overton window so that people can say defund the police and not lose their job? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, I want people to be able to say, no, I think America's immigration policy should be more relaxed and not lose their job. That drives some people into a foaming lather, right? I think it's fair game. So what are we willing to tolerate, gritting our teeth, but still, what are we willing to tolerate in exchange for views that we may not agree with, but we're more sympathetic towards? Does that make sense?
Yeah. There's certainly a problem.
Yeah, see, to me, and this is a personal thing, right? There's no easy solution to this. Like, to me, I'm prepared to accept people, even though they're wrong, but I am willing to debate someone who says the election was rigged, right? That's not somebody that you just insta-block. That's an idea that has to be given some light and air so that people can be informed and reassured, quite frankly. I don't think anyone's thrilled about the belief that they think the election was rigged. That's one I'm willing to trade. And I know that a lot of people are not in agreement with me. And that's the problem, right? When we get into issues of personal comfort. You know, and another one is, I don't mind if Gina Carano puts a cheeky thing up about, here's a blindfold to go with your mask about Democrats. Because she's not saying don't wear a mask, right? When she starts getting into the vaccine thing, that's where it crosses the line into Gwyneth Paltrow territory, where you may now get someone killed. You know what I'm saying? That's my line. If it's going to possibly get someone killed, not cool. But other people might argue, no, other things will get people killed. It's tough, right? And it mm-hmm. is very, very, very hard to argue that her views deserve firing when Gwyneth Paltrow, a woman, got killed by bees because of a bee sting therapy that she promoted on her Goop website, and that's okay. This is the problem with this whole thing. There's really arbitrary social standards in terms of what is acceptable bad opinions and unacceptable bad opinions. And, you know, as somebody who keeps kosher, references to the Holocaust are not a joke to me. But I am really afraid that people are missing the greater issues with that. And I admit I'm concerned at the level of partisanship in that regard, because I don't think the positive messages were taken from what happened on January 6th. There's people are calling it now 1/6. I'm like, oh God, what? Why does America have to make every tragedy into a biblical verse? You know, America 9/11, America 1/6. Why? Why do you have to make everything so jingoistic? Rant over. But the thing, and we talked about this on the podcast we did about the Capitol riots, but it was so absurd and yet so scary at the same time. You'd think that people would recognize how close we constantly are. Like, if anything, just completely blew social contract theory out of the water, right? Like, that's a flimsy social contract when people are smashing up the Capitol saying, I paid for this, I own this, where's Pelosi, you know?
Well, yeah, that's one of the many, many problems with social contract theory.
Yeah, but it's what I'm hoping people can actually understand now. The thing, if you actually drill down on the unrest in America right now, the thing that people are really upset about is government inaction. It's government gridlock. People haven't lost faith in just this particular administration, like we do up in Canada from time to time. People in America have lost confidence in the entire system. And that's why you see people on the left going, bring in socialism. And you see people on the right with this burn it all down mentality. And even some people who identify as independents, who actually don't have backward social views, they want to see it burned all down because they just think the system is broken beyond repair.
I particularly do think that one of the biggest problems in America at this point is lifetime career politicians. And in that, yes, the system is a problem. You have people who sit in office for decades, accrue power, accrue contacts, contracts and contacts. Right. I honestly believe that there should be a term limit for every single government, higher government function.
See, you know, the one thing that I am like, I am so torn on that. What happens to those people after that at government? They become lobbyists and then they're not where you can see them.
Well, I have issues with lobbying as well.
Right. So like that, you need some sort of holistic reform, right?
Yeah. And, you know, I want the alleged wall of separation that should be there between church and state. I want the same thing between the private and the public sectors, because there's far too much sleeping in each other's beds.
Oh yeah, we have much stronger anti-lobbying laws in Canada than you do in the US.
The US.
Oddly, a conservative government brought that one in.
Well, you know, I always go back to that PJ O'Rourke quote, when you legislate buying and selling, the very first thing that gets bought and sold are legislators.
I will say though, can we really say there's a wall between church and state anymore?
Like that's why I said supposedly.
I am like
the Trump of critical thinking, except I actually use my brain. I want walls everywhere in that respect. I want a wall between the private and the public sector to keep both from getting tempted into corruption. And I want a wall of separation between church and state so that we don't have theocracy.
And you know what? I think that's probably a good place to start, right? Because mm-hmm. I think what the Gina Carano Instagram post showed is that there should be separation between someone's religion and their political opinions.
Mm-hmm. One of the greatest dangers in America right now. And oh gosh, why did you people make me do this? Take a shot. Because Ayn Rand called this, is Christian nationalism.
Yes.
Back when, Ronald Reagan was the one who gave it the seal of approval. He opened the doors.
Yeah.
Big barn doors for the moral majority to become official part of the Republican Party.
Well, technically it was probably more Lee Atwater. I don't know if Reagan had any awareness of what was really going on there.
Or awareness period at the time.
Yeah, exactly.
But you know, she pointed to this and said, this is the conservatives. She had no love for conservatives, mm-hmm. which tickles me pink every time that some loathsome toad like Rand Paul or Cruz or Rubio ever decide to quote her, because it's like, bitch, she would have you, she would rake you over the coals just for that.
Yeah.
But she warned that in a, one of her last Ford Hall Forum appearances, then that the conservatives were on track to destroy America through theocracy. Mm-hmm. And well, you know, look at the sizable and very worrisome, very worrying evangelical movement that is behind Trump, whipping it into a frenzy of fanaticism.
Which makes no sense to me. Like, why Trump with the evangelicals? Pence, I get. At least he's Doc Savage with a Bible.
Well,
you know,
think about who these mega church pastors are and these tele-evangelists are. They're hucksters, they're hoaxers who have bamboozled a whole bunch of very superstitious people into sending them money for prosperity.
So it's basically they've just been trained to respond to cults of personalities, and Trump scratches that itch.
Yeah, very much so. And you know, and in Trump, these minor cult leaders, because at this point he is the large cult leader, they saw an opportunity to level up.
Yeah. I mean, Trump is just such a fascinating, and by fascinating, I mean horrifying figure in that regard, because he's shameless.
Trump is kind of fascinating, like strolling through one of those Goya exhibits where he painted the monsters of history, and you stop by the picture of Cronus eating his children, and you go, yeah, that's fascinating. It's pretty much that same vibe.
It kind of is. I mean, it's just that he's so shameless. And the fact that, you know, he's now using an adapted presidential seal on his personal correspondence. Even 10 years ago, that would have been considered unforgivably tacky.
Yeah.
Now it's just another meme, you know, and I know we talk about this all the time. It's when people's alleged logic is just floating abstractions roped together by feelings. This is what you get. You know, picture, make feel good. That's all you get. You know, something gives you a chuckle for 5 seconds. That means it's good. People don't think any more deeply about it. And I don't know how to bring back true critical thinking other than doing podcasts like this and constantly getting in trouble on social media. I do wonder, to sort of bring up one final point, if part of the Gina Carano problem was potentially effective message, wrong messenger, you know, if somebody who was perhaps more traditionally feminine, if they had made a comment like this, you know, instead of somebody who like kicks people in the head for a living, if somebody else had said it, would it have been okay? It's tough, eh? You can't immediately say no.
See, well, there's also another thing that I was thinking about that might be part of Gina's problem. Fighter culture.
Yes.
This is something that has been going around in my head. See, performer culture versus fighter. Fighter culture is a very, very unique subset of performer culture. Mm-hmm. Because even when you're a face and not a heel, you still cultivate this level of might I say, somewhat hostile or provocative interactions.
Yeah, it's that never back down, never surrender kind of thing.
Right. And and a lot of what I saw in Karanos's social interactions had that background to it, which, you know, if you were trash talking at the ring or trash talking with your opponent's fans, you know, that passes because that's expected there. But
that's an interesting perspective.
But from on a social media platform, when, you know, when the tights are off and there's no bell and it's just supposedly people interacting on a personal level on a massive scale, it's an entirely different context. And I'm not entirely sure that Toronto ever stepped out of that context.
That's really interesting, because what I took from it is, let's face it, a lot of people who get into physical sports, bodybuilding, mixed martial arts in general, they were picked on as a kid. And mm-hmm. they create this tough persona for themselves and learn how to fight so that they're not picked on as an adult. And what I saw from her is an extreme trigger to being picked on.
Mm.
And, you know, a lot of people join these conservative groups and let's face it, far left groups, for the same reason. They feel like they have protection in these partisan spaces. And, you know, I saw a lot of myself when I was younger and less secure. Just everything's a fight. Every day's a fight. And because you haven't tried it yet, you don't realize that part of one of the biggest shows of strength someone can show is to basically go, I'm not so afraid of you that I can't admit that I'm wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, all right, yeah, I made a mistake there. That doesn't destroy my greater argument, but all right, I accept the correction. You know? Now, some people will be never satisfied, but you're not aiming for those people,
mm-hmm.
right? You're aiming for people who are sane and people with sense. And I guess she just hadn't been. Sometimes that level of fame is difficult for people with trauma to deal with, you know? People have brought up Kelly Marie Tran and the crap she got as sort of a comparison to this. You know, people have claimed that, you know, Disney defended Kelly Marie Tran. They didn't defend Gina Carano. Kelly Marie Tran just existed. You know, she didn't actually say anything contentious.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a bad comparison. But apparently there's another woman who is hosting that High Republic show. I don't know. I don't watch the recap shows, so I have no idea what it is, but she made some tweets about white people. And I looked at them. I thought they were fair game, but other people don't.
Mm-hmm.
And it is very difficult to be a brand right now. It is very difficult. Brands have to pick a side. And I think what people have to realize is if you force brands to pick a side, don't be mad when they don't pick your side.
Mm-hmm.
Because they had to pick one. And no matter what, somebody was going to think they were wrong. Right? Yeah, you know, all right. You know, Chick-fil-A went one way. Disney went another way. Some people could argue that Disney is too big to side. One could argue, but... I don't know, man. I just, and this, I know I'm doing a lot of, I don't know this episode, but there are so many complexities in this. That's why it seems so frivolous, but the stuff underneath isn't.
Mm-hmm.
For years, everyone was fine with companies forcing gay entertainers to hide their sexuality. That too was picking a side. And people don't see the issue with picking a side when it holds up the status quo, right? It's invisible at that point. Now that the status quo just, it's sort of, there's no quo in the status quo.
It's more of a status quo.
Yeah, it's status quo. It's a status what? Nobody
I guess
knows.
That's a bad linguistic joke. It should be le statu quo.
And that's close to tu quoque, and that's sort of what we're at. The status quo is yeah, but what about you, right? Mm-hmm. It every time something like this happens, people start going, but you did this. Like they pull a Pablo Pascal tweet from Pedro Pascal. I knew that was wrong. Pedro Pascal tweet from 2018 where he did use an incorrect image. He called Republicans Nazis and thought he was using an image of kids
in cages in
Arizona. It apparently was in fact Palestinian kids lined up for a food bank line. Mm-hmm. If you look, they've all got buckets, which is out of place with, that was a mistake of his. He probably, I think he did delete that tweet, but it was in 2018, you know, and people seize on these little errors and overlook the larger point. Now, I'm quite frankly annoyed by the constant references to Nazis. I think it's just cheapened the whole thing. The Holocaust, the Nazis, leave it alone. Because, you know, comparing things to apartheid, comparing things to Nazi Germany, all that stuff, you are missing what's going on right now. It's cheapening the specific excuses people are using now for polarization. And it ain't just hatred. It's a step below hatred. It is dehumanization. You can hate somebody and still see them as a human. The list I have of those people is longer than I'd like it to be. It is something totally different to see someone as not a person, as an unperson, as some sort of monster not deserving of dignity. And that's where we're at. And it's different than it was back then, because it's not de facto governments doing it anymore. It is governments abdicating responsibility for doing what governments are supposed to do, which is protecting the rights and freedoms of as many people as possible, and leaving it up to frigging corporations to do that job for them. It's corporate autocracy at this point. It's corporate authoritarianism. You know, the governments, because government is now a business, right? It's all about getting those donors. It's getting those mm-hmm. donations. It's not actually about making the hard choices or even standing up for your constituents. I do not know where the hell's Josh Hawley from. I do not know what his constituents are benefiting from his antics. You know, it's, everyone is so just, not everyone, but a large enough minority of the population is so defined by what they oppose. There aren't enough people building towards things now for government to function. And the only way, what's that?
Very much so.
Yeah. And the only way that's going to stop is if people stop voting those people in. Like if people actually stop treating the world like it's a giant wrestling match, there's a heel and a face in every conflict. I think that was a very apt comparison, Mouse. If people stop treating things in such overly simplistic terms, you know, this is going to continue. And the world will still turn if some actress loses a gig. It sucks to be that actress. Trust me. It's awful. Like I cannot overcome my empathy for being where she is, because as bad as I think her principles are, I have to give her some respect for standing for them. If that sounds weird, you know, it mm-hmm. shows she might not have intelligence and she might not have wisdom, but she does have integrity to an extent. And I can respect that. And I hope that doesn't get clawed away from her in the path she's now on, because let's face it now, it's about survival for her. Who's going to employ her other than places like the Daily Wire and the Daily Caller and anything else with apparently Daily in the name? Like, if that isn't a nod to traditionalism, what do you mean Daily? The Daily Caller updates 6 times a day. There's nothing daily about it. It's not a newspaper.
Yeah.
You know, but what she got left, you know, at this point, she's been beaten down. She's been taught that people don't really respect standing up for your views, even when you're wrong. They respect you towing the line. And unfortunately, the line that's left to toe is the one that everybody was mad at her for being associated in the first place. So what did this solve? You know?
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, and I know this is charged, but I feel like I have to bring it up just for a complete examination of things. Women don't get second chances in Hollywood the way men do. You know, people, it used to be the Lindsay Lohan, Robert Downey Jr. comparison.
Yeah.
That they were both hot messes as people and got into trouble with addiction and the law and all that stuff. But he got a second chance and she hasn't. That's true. And, you know, unfortunately, people keep trying to have Mel freaking Gibson have a comeback, you know? Mm-hmm. And I'm going to throw this out there. I think Gwyneth Paltrow manages to keep doing her goop shit and having no consequences for it, because that's still traditionally feminine sphere, right? People are not as offended by, oh, but it's just makeup. Like, how did she know? She couldn't know, even though there's an entire cottage industry that's popped up debunking the shit that Goop promotes.
Yeah.
You know, but she doesn't color outside the lines as much as somebody like Gina Carano does, who decides to be sort of, you know, non-traditional. It reminds me a fair bit of, you know, the stuff back in the day when Michael Jackson could grab his crotch, but Madonna couldn't. And I'm not saying Gina Carano's a victim here. I just think there is this lever that we have to acknowledge. You know, I mean, Nick Cannon kind of got tossed really quickly too. Other people, I go back to Chris Pratt. I don't know how that's happening. You know,
I don't either.
Even Bieber handled being a part of Hillsong Church better than Chris Pratt did. I do not know. The only thing I can think of is that Gwyneth Paltrow and Chris Pratt are not fighting with people online. So these companies have plausible deniability, and that's what they really care about. Because mm-hmm. those, which is the worst Chris memes pop up every so often. And it's always Chris Pratt. Like, there's a subsection of the internet that just loathes the guy. And I don't understand how a guy claims to be so deeply, you know, that kind of Christian and makes his money in movies with dinosaurs and aliens.
I know.
How does that work? Like, he's literally the guy that had the hands out to the raptors, right? And he apparently doesn't believe in dinosaurs. Mm-hmm. But he's still working. Like, this is why I say this whole, and I preface this by saying this whole thing makes no sense. And maybe I'm being hyperbolic here, Mus, but I think that might be the thing that scares me the most about it. That you can't reason your way out. It's Wonderland right now. It's Wonderland right now. You know, we did Ayn Rand, but Lewis Carroll was remarking on these sorts of elements of Victorian society, that there are some things you just can do and some things you just can't do. And those demarcations make no sense. And that might actually be a better comparison than, you know, 1930s Germany. Mm-hmm. Hey, okay. I found something that actually made sense in this whole mess. That nonsense.
So I guess we're gonna start having to go down the rabbit hole and find out where this shit leads.
Yeah, hopefully we can learn a lot of things from the flowers. Cause like,
don't do this to me.
You can learn a lot of things. The things from the flowers,
and especially in the month of June. Disney called in there. We just got hit by a copyright strike.
Well, I think I was out of key, so it's an adapted work.
Derivative.
We made it our own. All right, that's probably a good place to wrap. Hope you guys found something thought-provoking out of this, because we're gonna get screamed at from the internet on. But that seems to be a day ending in Y for me of late. Let's wrap before I start ranting. Broken Clock Podcast, FU Network, FUNetwork.tv, Patreon, PayPal. We greatly appreciate your support for this stuff. Thinking is good for you, even when it hurts sometimes. This whole thing has given me indigestion. I don't know about you, Mouse. As usual, you have the last word.
I want you all to consider a quote by the Iron Man of Rome, Cato the Younger, who opposed tyranny and then tore his innards out rather than be a member of Caesar's world. A very, very good quote, I think, and it's a very brief one. I begin to speak only when I'm certain that what I'll say isn't better left unsaid.